All right. We're going to go ahead and get going here. Want to welcome you to this late afternoon version of our breakout. So I know it's late afternoon. I am really glad you're here. We're going to have a great time together. My name is Mike, and this is our global engagement breakout. And you should have read the fine print, because by you being here, that commits you to a trip to Pakistan in just a few months. All right, so you're in.
Assalamu alaikum.
There you go. Yeah, see, I just got back from Pakistan. So, what's that?
Destin was ready.
His beard's a lot He's better than it. Mine. But anyway, so really glad you're here. You're probably wondering, if you haven't already, so we're going to answer a question that you might be wondering: why in the world is Send Network, that plants churches, having a global engagement breakout? Why are we doing that? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish with all this? So two quick answers to that question is, number one is the Bible. We believe scripturally, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, you cannot read God's word and not be captivated by the reality of God's glory among the nations. Amen. He is worthy of the glory and the worship of all people in all places, in all parts of the world. And we're convinced that every church, every believer, every church planter, every pastor, you have a part to play in that. What does that look like? So that's one reason, is the scriptures. The other reason we're pursuing this is because of Send Network. We have some core values, some new core values. If you heard those, you've been talking a lot about those. One of those is what we call seek first the kingdom. You've heard our president, Pastor Vance, talk a lot about that. Seek first the kingdom. It basically states that we believe that God is at work locally. That's in your city. Aren't you glad? God's at work where you're planting. At the same time, God is at work globally. God is at work around the world. And we want to find out, how can we as Send Network churches, how can we as church plants engage in God's global activity among the nations? So that's really the point of this breakout. I hope this is going to be helpful to you. Got some dear friends up here. Going to introduce these guys in just a minute and why they're here. But the point is, I hope you leave with your heart inflamed more about the greatness and glory of God, and then practically saying, okay, I think I have a next step maybe for our church plant or our church. What can be our next step to engage your church, your people, among the nations? And let me just say really clearly, we're not saying that you have to cross the globe or go around the world to engage the nations. Your city, the nations are there. But at the same time, we want to lift our eyes to see the God of the nations, to reach those that are among our neighbors and among the nations of the world. We want to help you with that. That's the goal. And I'll just be real honest. Our hope is 10 years from now, every Send Network church plant, it has a strategy and a passion to engage the nations. And we hope that it's through our sister organization, the International Mission Board. These guys are with the IMB. Again, we'll introduce them in just a minute. But whether you know it or not, as Southern Baptists or Canadian Baptists, you have a great opportunity to partner with an organization called the International Mission Board that has some next steps already laid out for you. So we're going to lay some of those out, talk through those a little bit. We'll have a time of Q&A at the end. These guys can answer any question you might have about anything. It doesn't even have to do with missions. You can ask these guys. They can answer it. It's brilliant.
Wow.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
It's because we're bald.
It's the beard. It's the beard. Yeah. So anyway, super glad you're here. Our prayers that this will be helpful for you, and you will leave in just a few minutes impacted and changed and know a next step. All right? Will you pray with me? Let me ask God's favor on our time and his help to walk through this time together. All right, let's pray. So, Lord, we do, again, come to you. And, God, you are the one who created all nations. And, Lord, your word says, there is the day that all nations will come and worship before you and glorify your name. So we do pray that even this next hour plays some part in your global glory and you receiving the worth and honor and glory that you are deserving of. Right here in our cities, Lord, we pray for our cities where we are. We pray for the cities of the world. We pray for the peoples of the world. Ultimately, because you are worthy. So, Lord, I pray we leave with our hearts inflamed. I pray we leave with a sense of a next step, and that there's help and there's resources available to take our churches to the next step and engage the nations. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's where we're going to start. We're basically going to ask three questions and try to answer these questions for you. Question one, what does God say? That's a good place to start, right? That's a really good place to say amen, right? Amen! What does God say about this call to globally engage? We're going to take a look at that. Next question is going to be, okay, what does that mean for my church? How can my church be involved in God's glory among the nations? And then third question is, what's your next step? And we're going to help you with that, okay? So to start with scriptures, I want to give you just a quick overview. And you can write these down. You don't have to look these up. We're not going to take a long time. I am a pastor. I'm a preacher. I could preach through all this, but I would give you this really quick. You can't read through the Bible without being face-to-face with God's call for us to engage and make Him known among the nations. It's throughout Scripture. It's not a book of the Bible. It's a theme from the beginning all the way to the end. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You guys know the story. A man named Abraham, right? God sets him apart. There's a purpose. There's a plan. Through you, Abraham, all the nations are going to be blessed. There is a plan. You continue on through Scripture. If you open up your Bible to the middle of Scripture, Psalm 117, right in the middle of your Bible, it says this. This is great. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is the steadfast love of the Lord. His faithfulness toward us endures forever. Right there in the middle of the Bible. Praise the Lord, all nations. Then you get to the end of the Bible, or you can, the ministry of Jesus, right? We all know the Great Commission. You know that commission was to make disciples. Yes, in your context, but also in the context of the nations of the earth. Go make disciples of all nations. And then you see the culmination of God's plan when you get to the end of the Bible. I just want to say, as a pastor, church planner, isn't it exciting that you're part of something that will be accomplished? That's a good place for an amen. The strategy of reaching the nations that every tongue and tribe and people will come to worship Him. There will be representatives of every tongue and tribe and people around the throne. That will be accomplished. And we get to be a part of that. So it's throughout Scripture. So here's what I want you to hear. Every believer, every pastor, every church, we have a role to play in this thing called global engagement, this thing called reaching the nations. So I want to introduce these guys. They're both with the International Mission Board, and they've really built their lives around this call to make Jesus known among the nations. And I'm going to ask them just to introduce themselves and then talk a little bit about where you currently minister, and then we'll kind of go from there. So you guys introduce yourself.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Really good to be here with you all. My name is Jacob Boss, and my wife Elizabeth and I, and our four kids have served with the International Mission Board for 16 years. We have four kids, 16-year-old daughter, 13-year-old son, 10-year-old son, and 7-year-old daughter. We served for 10 years in South Asia, and we served for a while in Indoor. And I just learned there's someone here that just took a trip to Bhopal, which is pretty cool. So we know a lot of the same people in India. We served in Mumbai after that and began to engage global cities and trying to figure out how do you look at a global city with all of its diversity, all of the peoples that have moved there, to see the gospel move, to see churches start, to see leaders raised with transients and all the different challenges that cities present. As we were beginning to engage in that, in 2016, I got kicked out of India, and we ended up in London, England. To be honest with you guys, Romans 15 was a huge part of our call to India to take the gospel where the gospel had never been. Europe was the last place we ever thought we would be. London, England was even further beyond last place we ever thought we would be. But as we began to engage and look at lostness in Europe and lostness in London, number one, the lostness among the Brits was striking. And then the nations had literally moved to this place. It was a modern-day Jerusalem where the gospel could impact the lostness of the Brits and get to the ends of the earth from this one place. So God really burdened our heart. We engaged there in London for several years. And then for the last three, almost 4 years now, we've had the privilege of leading the work for the International Mission Board across Europe. So that'd be from Russia to the UK And Canada and Australia are also included in that. And so in Canada, we're able to link arms with Sin Network, North American Mission Board, the Canadian Baptists, as we work together to see God's kingdom expand here in Canada. So.
Great. Thanks, bro. Nate?
I'm Nate Perro. I serve in the great state of Arizona in the United States. I serve as the West Region Church and Next Gen Mobilization Strategist, which is a really long title on a business card to tell you that I am here to serve your churches. And so I have the honor of coming alongside churches and Next Gen leaders and helping mobilize them to be a part of what God's doing around the nations. My wife, Jess, she served with IMB as a journeyman, which is our 2-year apprenticeship program that's fully funded for 21 to 29 year olds.
Say 2 years, it's fully funded?
It's 2 years fully funded.
Fully funded.
And so we actually have spots that are dedicated for Canadian students, young adults who desire to serve globally, that are held every year just for Canadian students. So if you have Canadian 21 to 29 year olds, please let them know that I would love to have a long conversation with them and then send them far away from their mom and dad. So, which you're okay with. So, if they tithe, then you can keep them, I guess. I'm just teasing. I want them. But I have just the honor of getting to serve churches all across the west of the states and then partnering with some of our churches here in Canada as well. And so really just honored to be here and getting to share an opportunity for what it looks like for your church to be engaged with what we're doing, because we exist to serve churches. The IMB 178 years of history existed for one purpose, which was to help Baptists take the gospel to the nations, believing in the fulfillment of Revelation 7:9. And so we're all family. We're having a great conversation this afternoon. Yeah. And he'll keep us awake. So it's going to be good. So don't worry.
Yeah, that's awesome. So super glad to have these guys here. And we also know there's a range of understanding of what the IMB is and what the International Mission Board does. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I want to go back to you, Jacob, really quick. And so we talked about this global call that God's given every believer. But let me just give you some language really quick. We believe biblically that every believer, every church is called to be missional, right? Live on mission. But at times, God sets some people apart to be what we would call a missionary. To cross a culture, to learn a language, to go a place where the gospel is almost unheard completely. And God did that in you and your wife's life. You mentioned that a little bit. So if you want to add a little bit to that, do that of how this biblical call has shaped your life. And then help us understand where are we globally right now with the growth of the church and of Christianity. Help us with that.
Yeah, so the call on our life, my life specifically, started really when I was a kid. My grandparents loved the Lord, were great church members, faithful leaders in the church. They had adopted 4 Vietnamese kids. So I had 4 Vietnamese aunts and uncles growing up. I had Vietnamese cousins. I didn't even notice any difference, to be honest. I was shocked when I was 9 years old to learn that they were adopted. Who would even have thought? But as I was processing that with my Vietnamese uncle, Genesis 1 was one of the huge passages that was striking to me, which is that everyone is created in God's image, and that it doesn't matter what your background is, who you are, where you come from, what language you speak, what gender you are, you're made in God's image. And that is the fundamental basis of this mission, is that God created everyone and he loves them. And that was just revolutionary for me. And then to look at Abraham and to move on to see what Jesus did on the cross, and then you walk into the New Testament and you see that it moves from just the Jews to everyone, and that becomes extremely clear to the Revelation 7:9 vision. When I was 12 years old, some missionaries from Africa came, were in my grandparents' living room, and they were just talking about the incredible need for more laborers in Africa. And they use this passage that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And it was in that moment that the Lord stirred in my heart when I was 12 that I was going to have something to do with this global mission. And obviously, I had no idea what that meant. And it was not until college and just after college that the Lord kind of fleshed some of that out for us. But in terms of what the state of missions or state of the church is today, the first thing that I would start with is just the population growth. So in 1800, the early 1800s, is when the world first crossed the 1 billion mark of population. So early 1800s. It was not until the early 1930s that we crossed the 2 billion mark. 1945, it crossed the 3 billion mark. And obviously today, it's more than 8 billion people in the world. So that means over a period of about 225 years, the world has grown by about 7 billion people. Actually, in most of our lifetimes in this room, the world has grown by over 5 billion people. Like, that's staggering if you begin to think about it. Where this population growth happened was in the places where there was little gospel access. And so that's why in the 1970s and 80s and 90s, the church globally came together to say, we have to send more resources to what we call the Global South. The Global South is anywhere below the equator. So the Global North would be United States and Canada, most of Europe. The Global South would be South America, Africa, most of Asia. And so through the 80s and 90s, cooperating across the evangelical world, we began to see the gospel push into the Global South. And this is the map of the current state of evangelical Christianity around the world. Each one of these dots represents a distinct people group. The darker the red, the least access they have to the gospel. So the darkest red on here are those peoples around the world that don't currently have any access to the gospel, which is approximately 3,020 people groups, about a billion people. The darker the green, the more access to the gospel they have, the greater percentage of evangelical in their population. I'll start over here in China. Back in the 70s and 80s, when we began to push together across the evangelical world into the Global South, China was red, a very unreached place. Today, China is around 7 to 8% evangelical. So let me just pause to say, as we listen to the news and we hear the rising of China, just know that God is ahead of the game. His church is there. Not only is his church there, but they are beginning to send to the nations. It's amazing. We come to India. When my wife and I went in the early 2000s to India, that was bright, bright red. And now you begin to see quite a bit of yellow. India is about 3 to 4% evangelical today. Just those two countries alone are about 3 billion people. The sending force from those two countries will blow your mind. We move over to Africa. Africa is the largest Christian continent in the world today. There are more Christians in Africa than in any other continent. They're also the youngest. The average age in Africa today is 17. As the church continues to mature and grow in Africa, what God is going to do through that continent is going to be amazing in the next 20 to 30 years. And then we come up to Europe. And in Europe, you see a lot of yellow and red. Now, 30, 40 years ago, that would have been primarily green. Europe today, Diambi's worked with several different organizations to try to figure out what is the state of the church. Europe today is approximately 1.12% evangelical, which means that Europe is the most lost continent on the face of the earth today in terms of percentage of evangelicals. So there are more lost people in Asia because there's a larger population. But in terms of percentage of evangelicals, Europe is the most lost continent today. So what this does is it paints a picture of the rising global church. It paints the picture of a mission force that is going to be diverse, which is amazing. It paints a picture of what God has done and has accomplished, but it also paints a picture of incredible need. And that's why we have to continue to partner together, to link arms, to continue to see the kingdom of God advance to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. Well said, man. That's great. And some of that stuff, I wish you would just keep talking because it's so interesting to me. But I want to go from that, and I wanted you to hear, okay, here's how we see God at work among the nations. The need is immense. God is very much at work. And then transition really to the next question. Okay, what does that mean for our churches? What does it mean for your church as a local church? And here's what you're thinking, all right? I've planted a church. I'm a pastor now. Okay, so do you know how busy I am? Do you know how many things I have on my plate? That's what you're thinking. I get that. So now you're wanting me to turn my attention to the nations. Well, biblically, I don't really think we have a an option. There is a role for every church and every pastor and every disciple of Jesus to play. And at the same time, we want to help you figure out, okay, what could that next step be? And I just want to say really clearly, every church can play a role. Every church can. Let me give you an example. We don't know how large the church at Philippi was in the New Testament. Anybody know? I don't know at all. I know there was a jailer there, and I know there was a businesswoman down by the river. And if you know your Bible, you know there were some people that made up at the church at Philippi. We don't know the size of the church. But here's what we do know. That little church partnered. And by the way, long-term thinking, that church had something to do with you and I sitting here today. They partnered with the Apostle Paul. Everything Paul did, the church at Philippi had a part in that. In fact, if I had time, we would go through the whole book of Philippians because I love it, particularly chapter 4. But I'm just going to read two verses at the beginning. Paul writes a letter of Philippians, back to the church, really to give them a report of how the gospel has advanced. Remember, he says, all of these things, these circumstances have worked out. Even though I've been under house arrest, even though it hadn't gone according to my plan, the gospel is still advancing because that's what you're partnering with me to do.
And,
yeah, for sure. I'm glad we have that letter. And he says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. This is verse 3, chapter 1. Always in every prayer of mine for all of you, making prayer with joy. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. If you want to do a word study, go circle that little word partnership. That's the word koinonia. We like that word for fellowship, which means things we do together. And we think, oh, we get to have casseroles and do these different things together. That's what we would say in Tennessee, where I'm from. The word partnership, koinonia there, means we're joining together to do something that we couldn't do by ourselves. Preach. So we together, Paul says, me and you, the church at Philippi, can advance the gospel in a way Paul says I couldn't do it by myself. Philippi was a small little church. I really want you to hear that no matter what size your church is, no matter how old your church is, you can play a part in this. So as we talk about some options and some ways that that could look, what I want you to hear, one of the great gifts we have as Southern Baptists or Canadian Baptists is that we have a partner already built in, if you will. There are some great mission agencies in our world. There's one in particular that I think we always ought to start with and say, is this an option? And that's the International Mission Board. And these guys are here and representing. This is our sister organization. So what I want to do for just a minute or two is I want to kind of give you an overview of what is the IMB? What does the IMB do? What does that look like for our church? And what are maybe some steps we can take? And you said it great, Nate. The IMB doesn't exist for themselves. Just like Sin Network doesn't exist for itself, it exists for the local church. It exists to advance the local church and the gospel. So take that, Jacob. Tell us a little bit about, introduce us a little more to the IMB. Actually, let's watch a video.
Yeah, let's watch a video.
Let's watch a video. So I'm going to ask you to watch this video. It's only 40 minutes. I'm just kidding. It's not. It's like 1 minute, and this will give you an overview of the International Mission Board, and then we'll go from there. So take a look at the screen.
We don't see points on a map. They aren't just places to us. We see stories of lives living without the hope found in Jesus. Today, somewhere between the Great Commission and the Great Multitude, we find ourselves facing the world's greatest problem, lostness. Even in the midst of natural disasters, humanitarian crises, and political instability, Southern Baptists send IMB missionaries to give their lives to the lost, living amongst those who have never heard the gospel. People in hard-to-reach places, people in cities, and those who are dispersed and displaced around the world. At the IMB, we believe that missionary presence cultivates gospel access. Gospel access that knows no geographic or social boundary. We believe that missionary presence fuels gospel belief, and we see the results. We see lives transformed, generations forever changed, and churches planted. Local expressions of the church that take ownership and thrive. God has made our purpose clear. Together, we seek to take the gospel to every nation, to all tribes, to all peoples, to all languages. We don't see places on a map. We see our place in fulfilling the Great Commission. This is our mission. This is your mission. And we are reaching the nations together.
So super. So that kind of gives you a really, I think, highly inspirational overview of what the IMB is about. But I want to get a little more specific. I love that line in there. We exist somewhere between the Great Commission and the Great Multitude. Man, I love that. So help us. What does the IMB do? Just kind of give us an overview, Jacob. Take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we exist to serve Canadian Baptists and Southern Baptists to address the world's greatest problem, which is lostness, by taking the gospel to the lost. And so we are highly focused as an organization on getting the gospel where the gospel is not. And that is our aim and our focus. The question becomes, like, how do you do that? And so we have actually, in the last 8 to 10 years, really wrestled together as an organization and had a lot of other voices involved as well as to, like, what is the mission? And if you look at Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas are sent out of the church at Antioch, we see that the leaders of the church at Antioch are there. They're praying and they're fasting. And then the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I have called them. So it's fascinating that while Paul and Barnabas were called to people, they weren't called to a specific people, they were called to a work. And so it's really important then to figure out what is this work that Paul and Barnabas were set apart for. And so as we dig into the three journeys of Paul, as we look at the epistles that are written back to those churches, what begins to emerge is what we call the missionary task. And so the missionary task is one task with six different components. So the missionary task starts with entry. And so as the International Mission Board, we do a whole lot of research. The map that you saw just a second ago with all the green and yellow and red dots is research that the IMB has done alongside other organizations to figure out where is the gospel, where is the gospel not? Where is the church, where is the church not? And so entry is a lot of research, but then it's also figuring out how do we get to the places where the gospel's not? Sometimes that means the IMB sends a unit to that place, but sometimes it means that we partner with a Korean brother or sister. We partner with a Brazilian brother or sister to get to that location. Sometimes it means there's a local that God has raised up through training to go to that location. And so entry is research, figuring out where the gospel is not, and figuring out how do we get there to begin to share the gospel. Because just being there is not enough. When Paul goes into a new place, he always proclaims the gospel. And what we've learned, especially in Europe, is that we cannot re-engineer the mission to exclude the proclamation of the gospel. The only path forward for kingdom advance is through gospel proclamation. And so evangelism is critical to missions. However, missions is more than just evangelism. Because we see Paul as new believers come to faith, making sure that disciples are being made. After all, the Great Commission is what? To make disciples. But once disciples are made, we see that healthy churches are formed. Either Paul goes back to appoint elders, or he sends Titus back to put in order the work by appointing elders. We believe that the local church is the sustainable piece to the kingdom in any local place. And so if evangelism is not followed by discipleship and church formation, then the missionary task is not complete in any location. So leadership development becomes another critical piece to the missionary task. We see Paul raising up leaders, leaders for the local church, and also leaders for the missionary team. And then the sixth component is exit. And we believe as cross-cultural missionaries that our role is to go in and to help raise up locals who will own and steward the missionary task in their place. And so we do not think that the mission revolves around us. Actually, if the mission revolves around us, then we have failed. We go into a location so that we can see locals envisioned and taking the missionary task and owning it so that we can then go to the next place where the gospel is not. And again, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 as he's reflecting on his missionary journeys. Says there's no room left for him in that area. And then he's making a case for his exit. He's making a case for why he's no longer needed here. So now he can go to Spain where the gospel is not. And so exit is the sixth component to the missionary task. I personally prefer the word to entrust because it's in the Bible. But we use exit. But essentially what Paul's doing is he's entrusting them to the Holy Spirit, right? Just what Jesus did, entrusting them to the Holy Spirit. The one other thing as the IMB that we're really wrestling with currently is people groups. People groups are critical. As we begin to look at the nations are made up of people groups that have similar cultures and common languages. And for a long time, we would partner one missionary or one church with one people group because they were huge people groups that had no access to the gospel. But over the last 30 years, God has moved in mighty ways and the world has changed. People have mixed together in incredible ways all around the world. And so if we come into a London, England, and I am only there to reach the Brits, the first question that comes to mind is, what is a Brit? Because a Brit isn't just white. The second question comes into play when I'm out sharing the gospel at a tube stop and a white British man comes up and he's married to a Nigerian lady. So then I can reach the white British man, but his wife is going to have to wait for another missionary who's called to the Africans, right? So as we begin to wrestle with some of these things, we have to figure out how do we go into a diverse place and reach everyone with the gospel. Well, the great thing is, it's already happened. You see, we start off in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem's the first place that Peter goes out and begins to proclaim the gospel. In Jerusalem, there are 14 different linguistic, cultural, Jewish groups, and there's Christians, Arabians, there's even different religious groups. So when Paul goes out and shares the gospel, everyone hears in their own language, which means the first church in Acts 2, 37 to 47 was multilinguistic and multicultural. This is why when we get to Acts 6, the Greek-speaking Jews are like, hey, our widows are being overlooked. So that's why the first servants of the church are appointed. Stephen gets martyred at the end of Acts chapter 7, and everyone is scattered from Jerusalem. When we get to Acts chapter 11, those that were scattered from Jerusalem start the church at Antioch. So this very first church plant is the very first place that they intentionally reach out to the Gentiles. And so these no-name believers from Jerusalem begin to reach out to the Gentiles. And Acts 11 says, many Gentiles believed and some Jews believed, and they start the church at Antioch. Now, this is the first place that they were called Christians. The term was given to them by the secular culture. At that time, it was seen as a pejorative, like as a negative thing. And most scholars think it's because they were looking and they're like, well, they're no longer Gentiles. They're no longer Jews. So we'll call them followers of Jesus. Then we see Paul's missionary task as he's sent out from the church at Antioch in Acts 13. Again, in Romans 15, as Paul's reflecting, he says, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he names this geographic area. He says, there is no room left for me to work. Now, in Romans 15, he even talks about his calling to the Gentiles. He's saying, church, the Gentiles are included in the gospel. The Gentiles are included. Everyone is included. But the Gentiles were not a people group. They were anybody that wasn't a Jew. Also, as we go back and look at the journeys of Paul, Paul was not exclusive to the Gentiles. Because the first place that he always went was to the synagogues. We know that his missionary team included Jews. So Paul was not exclusive to the Gentiles, but he was making sure that everyone saw the Gentiles and was reaching out and proclaiming the gospel to them. So as we're looking at these diverse places, we're asking, in this location, who all is there? what are all of the people groups that are there? And the second question is, how do they relate with each other in such a way that if I share the gospel, I know that through them, the gospel can go to whole communities, like the workplace, where people from different nations might relate to each other enough that the gospel could flow. And so we're beginning to reimagine, how do we focus on peoples, but on peoples in diverse places? And then what is discipleship? What does church formation look like after that? So as we focus on the missionary task, we want to see the gospel get to every people in every place.
Man, that's awesome. That's some great stuff there. So let me kind of process that a little bit. You heard some things that I want to point out that Jacob said. One, I hope you see the similarities to the missionary task, to exactly what you're doing as a church planner. You went into a city. You're figuring out how to share the gospel with that city. How are you going to make disciples? What is church development going to look like? Training of leaders. You may exit someday and hand that over to other leaders and then move on to another place and do that. A lot of similarities. Another thing I hope you heard about what Jacob said that the IMB is doing, same thing Sin Network is doing, end game, healthy churches. Gospel presence, healthy churches, because at the end of the day, that's where the gospel continues to advance and must be rooted in healthy churches. So the IMB is about planting and starting healthy churches. At the same time, let's get real practical, because the IMB exists with guys like Nate to say, okay, what about existing churches? How do we help them join the mission? What does that look like? So let's get real practical. How can the IMB help, or what are some ways that we can say, man, I want my church to get involved, take some steps? What are some of those examples?
So we're not at a hotel in a conference area. We're just in your office. You, me, and your wife are hanging out, and this is the conversation that we have. My goal is to help you, pastor, mobilize everyone in your church from womb to tomb. Because it's your heart. That's what you already care about. I know that every one of you that's in this room that's committed yourself to the gospel work of taking the gospel to peoples cares about what God cares about. The struggle in lies of like, okay, what do we do? Because that's a huge ask. That's a big task. And you're looking at me and you're like, we're not a very big church. I don't really care how big your church is. I work with churches that have thousands, and I just sent a church that has 8 globally. So the number isn't the issue. It's the opportunity and the invitation. And oftentimes we just don't know what the invitation is. And so part of just this gathering's purpose is to fulfill the opportunity of you knowing the invitation. The invitation is you have family, 3,600 missionaries globally serving in 168 countries right now?
Yeah.
There you go. That sounds great. Statistically.
We're Baptists.
So it depends exactly on the depends on the day and what visa gets revoked. I'm sorry, buddy. But the reality is that there is not a shortage of opportunity. The reality is, what is the best opportunity? There's always good things and there's God things. And I always try to help pastors. What is a God thing? So we have opportunities from high school programs where high school teams can go and they can go serve globally with our M's on the field. We have opportunities for college students or young adults who are 18 to 29 to go serve on some of our short-term trips. And those are anywhere between 1 to 8 weeks during the summer, which isn't summer for the Southern Global South. But we have those opportunities. We have semester opportunities where, like my wife, when she was in college, she went for a summer. Then she came back and was like, nope, can't get enough of that. And so she went for a semester, took an entire semester off from school, and then was like, nope, don't get enough of that. And so she went and did what our program is called Journeyman Program, which is a 2-year, fully funded. Opportunity. And we have 10 spots for Canadian students, so let's go.
45 in Europe.
That's right. Oh, look at you. And so and here's I'll just say it really honest. I was just talking to several of our global engagement leaders. We have 500 requests this year that did not get met by college students this summer to be serving globally. So I need your students. I want your students. I want to send your favorite student to take Jesus to the nations and join what he's doing there. But our journeyman program, and if they can't get enough of that, then we just send you forever. And then if you're like, well, I'm already like done with my job, great. I'd love to help you, retiree in your church, go serve. I just helped a 75-year-old woman is going to Central Asia in a country where her son called me and was like, do you know where you're sending my mom? And I was like, I do. And her comment to me, because I was terrified of her, her comment to me was, Nate, nothing on my birth certificate says I have to die here. And I was just like, yes and amen. And so I said, you're going to have to take this up with your mom, buddy. She's scary. So she's going to a country where, like, you wouldn't imagine she wants to go, but that's where she wants to go because she wants to take Jesus to those places. So the opportunity isn't maxed out at any level. We have a great need. There's 4.6 billion people in the world right now with limited or no access to the gospel, which just seems overwhelming when the statistic on the other side of the table is that there are more people coming to faith every day than any other time in history right now.
Yeah.
So like we get to be like overwhelmed, but then go, wait, but God is doing God things.
Yeah.
And so IMB gets to be part of that. We're not the only mission agency in the world, but we are your mission agency in the world, getting to do the great work. By the way, thank you for your faithfulness and your giving, because your giving gets missionaries on the field where not a single need in their life is not being met financially through housing, through a vehicle, through medical care. Like, it's unbelievable what when we get together, we cooperate together for 178 years to send our best to the world.
Yeah. So great. Thanks, man. That's super. So time we are remaining. In just a minute, I'm going to open it up to questions. You may have some particular questions for these guys, for us, and we'll try to limit it to just the missions area, not just anything, right? Even though you could answer anything.
I can answer anything.
So we'll open it up to questions.
He's available during dinner. So,
but before we do that, here's the way I want to take it for just the next minute. Okay, we have a biblical mandate. God's called us to be engaged in what he's doing among the peoples of the world for his glory. Every church, every believer, every pastor can be a part of that. Hope you've heard that there is a sister organization, a partner, we're together in this, that can help you take those next steps. So, for example, what might be your church's next step? What might be your next step as a pastor to lead that church to think globally? What if, you say, man, I just need to know how to help my people pray biblically for the nations. How can I start that? We've got resources to help with that.
Yeah. Can I just ask all of you a favor? If you're writing notes, I want you to write this. And because I don't want you to like ignore us for the next 30 seconds, because Jacob's going to say something really profound and you're going to miss that and you're going to have to read it on Twitter later. But if you'll do me a favor, later on when you leave this room, if you have a smartphone and you have some access to the internet at some level between now and bedtime tonight, if you will download IMB Pray in your smartphone app, wherever that is, if you're an Android or if you're an iPhone, if you'll download IMB Pray, here's why. If you download that app, you will get daily prayer requests coming from our missionaries around the world. My 8-year-old will fight me over bedtime, not because she doesn't want to go to bed, but because she wants to pray for our IMB missionaries because it's a family routine during our family worship time. And so, like, if you really want to get your church connected, have every Canadian in this country, in your church, download that app and let them see what God will do as they begin praying for what God's doing globally through our missionaries on the field. It's a very humbling thing because you get to see live prayer requests coming every day, every hour from our missionaries asking you to go to the throne room of God on their behalf.
Yeah.
And we have people who've read those prayer requests and then saw that there was a little email attached to it and said, wait, whoa, I can email this person. So they emailed our M on the field and then went on a trip to go visit them later.
Yeah.
And so that's how God connects his family together. And so,
yeah.
But we also have IMB.org, which has resources where you can go and you can get connected with who is IMB? What is IMB? What is the International Mission Board? What does it mean to be on a short-term trip? And then there's also some just foundational tools that are available on the website as well.
Yeah, so you've got those resources virtually. You've got people like Nate, who his role is to help you directly. So we're going to hang around here afterward.
Yeah, do not leave without getting my phone number, please.
Yeah, email. So you got somebody in your church says, man, I feel a tug to maybe plant my life cross-culturally. What do I do? International Mission Board can help with that. Now, the International Mission Board does not exist to take place of the local church, to come alongside and help the local church. That's a huge distinction. So going to open it up to some questions in just a minute, but I want to give you a couple more opportunities for you and give you an illustration. Maybe your next step as a church planner with Send Network is you need to see the nations. Maybe you've never crossed a culture. Maybe you've never worked on the field with an IMB team. So one of the things that's going on now, and I'll give a lot of credit to our new president, Pastor Vance, this is his heart. So global vision trips are going on. In 2023, we'll be taking 50 Send Network approved planters in year 1 through 3 to one of 5 ministry locations, Pakistan, I mentioned that earlier, Germany, India, Bulgaria, and then India again. The good news is it's fully funded. Generosity of churches that give through things like Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, the Great Commission offering here in Canada, that we'll be able to say, hey, you as a church planner, your airfare, your ground costs are covered, and you're going to go work with a IMB team somewhere in the nations. That's the good news. Bad news, all of these are full. Hold on, I got better news. I got good news, though. So all of these are full for 2023 because there's been such a great response. We are currently in the process of building out eight opportunities to take 100 church planters in 2024. So if you'll go to this website, you got the QR code over there, you'll see the trips, you can find out more information, and then there's going to be a little line that says, put me on the interest list for 2024. And you go on a spreadsheet, you'll be contacted, we hope, by August to have all eight dates. We've already got an opportunity in Istanbul nailed down. We're looking at Morocco, some of these teams, to get you on the field, to be exposed to the nations, to work alongside, get your hands dirty, and then we hope come back on the other side and partner as a local church with some of these field teams and make a huge difference. So, got some, open it up for questions. Let me give you a quick, paint a picture for you really quick. This is 30 seconds. I'm a pastor. Our church has the privilege of working alongside an IMB team in India. How did that come about? Well, several years ago, it was Pastor Vance Pittman, took me on a vision trip to India, and we met an IMB team on the field. We saw the work that they were doing, and while we were there, we also realized, wait a minute, we as a local church on the other side of the world can help. So every year now, they're a strategic partner of ours. We pray for James and Tracy Watson by name. We pray for their children. We pray for their families. When they're back in the States, they come to our church. Our church now hears global missions, and they think a face. They think a family. They think people. We have a care team around them that loves on them, sends them gifts. We send two teams every year. We send care teams. We help train their leaders, and we really help advance the work. We're a little church in Tennessee that's making a difference in a place called Mumbai, India, and it all started with a vision trip. It all started with IB saying, here's what that can look like. I want things like that for your church. And there are little steps you can take. Everything's there for you to do it through this great partner called International Mission Board. So I want you to hear that. We want to help with that. Our goal of Send Network is over the next 5-10 years, every Send Network has the nations on your heart from the beginning. And you have a partner right alongside of us that can help you carry it out called the International Mission Board. So I hope you heard all that. That's good stuff. So let's open it up for a few questions for these guys or me, whatever it may be. And then we're going to hang around at the end, too. So, yes, ma'am, you go first.
I do have a question, but okay. Two things, yes. I wanted to share. First of all, thank you for sharing about China. Way better than Fox News and CNN.
Amen.
Yes. Preach.
That wasn't hard.
secondly, International Mission Board in the 70s came to the Philippines. My parents both became Christians. Wow. Through the work of the mission, it used to be
Foreign Mission Board.
Foreign Mission Board, which was really, I'm glad they changed it. later on in my parents, like they've been pastors forever, but when my brother and I left home, they had the secret mission, and they went with the IMB to Mexico. They finally retired, but anyway, that's just how IMB poured into them, and then they came back served. And it really works, I guess, if there's a way I can express that. Question, how has globalization, social media, coming from the pandemic, what are the implications and the kind of the impact it has on the mission?
That's good.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Will you repeat the question?
Yeah. Can you say the question one more time so I can repeat it? Yeah.
He's going to hear to repeat it.
Can you? So how has social media, globalization.
Somewhere in India knows fashion in Los
right.
Angeles.
So how has it.
How has that impacted? Has it
yes.
kind of promoted more?
Yep.
Harder now?
So the question is, like, how has social media influenced or missions?
Globalization
so, is yeah. So obviously the amount of information and the pace of information has increased dramatically. And so you guys probably feel this as churches. Like your people are being discipled by their phones. So on average, a person intakes 10 hours of information a week, and then they have a 30-minute sermon. Over 1 week, that's a lot. Over 1 year, like you can imagine the difference. So this is happening at a global scale. So at the International Mission Board, we have actually looked at how do we utilize the internet to engage lostness. So Ukraine would be a good example of this. In Ukraine, when the war broke out just over a year ago, I was standing on the border at Poland, and these buses were coming across the border, and all these women and children were getting off the buses. When they got off the buses, this is what they were doing. And the first thing that they wanted to do was to plug their phone in to charge their phones, because that's how they were communicating to their husbands, their brothers that were back in Ukraine. Then we watched President Zelensky for the first time when the war broke out. He used his phone, and he literally controlled political powers via social media. So he would call the president of Turkey via social media, and he would say whatever he wanted to say. He would put it out. It would go viral. And Erdogan had to respond, or President Biden had to respond. So when I was standing there on the border, I realized that at that moment, literally millions and millions of eternities were at stake because war was breaking out. And most of the people in Ukraine were in bunkers. Like, they couldn't go out and hear the gospel, but they were all doing this. And so we began to shoot out some ads, gospel ads, via Facebook and Instagram and other things that were prayers, and it was gospel proclamation that they could click and then begin to message with somebody on the other side. And then the goal was to get what we call IRL, to get them in real life, to get them a Bible. And actually, our team in Toronto is starting this now, right? And so you guys are starting to look at what this looks like in Toronto. What we've learned is that more people are willing to engage initially behind the internet than in person. So in London, we're doing tons of evangelism. We'll have a QR code on a card, and we'll say, hey, this Friday night, we're having a virtual event. Why don't you come and join? We're also going to, it'll be recorded, so you can watch it later. And we have massive response to that. So people are willing to engage the gospel via the internet versus, hey, why don't you come to this in real life thing? So there's a whole lot of ways we're exploring. And obviously, I could spend a whole lot more time on that, but it's had a huge impact. But I think that there are ways to leverage it for kingdom expansion in ways that we probably haven't thought of yet. So, yeah.
Good.
Great question.
Somebody else?
Yes, sir, right here.
I'm a pastor of a church. My wife and I would like to go to Thailand for a couple of months. And my wife, Laura, here speaks Thai.
All right. So what I
got. She's a ESL teacher.
All right.
So if we could go for a couple of months and then connect with some work there, then we can bring that back to our church, mm-hmm. and then carry on the connection with our church here.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And I wonder how we could do that. Is there like a short program?
There is. There's all kinds of pathways.
I'd love to talk to you after session's over to get your information.
So the question is, they would like to go to Thailand and explore and then maybe come back and engage with their church, so...
Yeah, so that's not an abnormal request of people coming or saying, hey, I'm going to go to this place. Is there a way to connect with our M's that are in those places or spaces and be about what they're doing? And so, like, I can tell you, I know a lot of the team that's in Thailand, and so I know that they would be open to connecting with you guys and letting you see that. So that'd be awesome to help you.
Yeah. So specifics like that, Nate, you're going to hang around here at the end. And
yeah, again, please don't leave. I'll give you my contact information. And
and
when you guys need to think IMB, because my goal is this, that for the first time you interact with my face, the next time you interact with a face that's somewhere else in the world. Because a lot of times, especially when it comes to a big family like this, we get 1-800 numbers or we get emails, and that's emotionally draining for me personally. And I'm a millennial. Like, we accidentally created that world. But I don't want to call a 1-800 number when I want to talk to somebody. I want to know the person I'm talking to, and I want to personally serve you. So
that's good. Thanks, man. All right. What else? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm also saved by International Mission Board.
Wow.
Because I've been identification by the school.
Really?
Wow. And I was
legal. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. You mentioned about short missionary. opening. Are there some more places that it seems like everyone will be interested to apply? I mean, you mentioned about places that have been closed this year.
Yeah.
About in the future.
Yeah.
Or do you have any list of countries that others might be interested to apply or support?
Yes. Do we have a list of countries?
Yes. You mentioned in the other side this one.
Yeah.
Okay. About other vision trips that are available.
Next year.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you're talking about the SIN network for church planters, we don't have that list yet. We'll have it by August is the hope. And again, if you'll get your name on this interest list that's on there, then it will come back to you once those are published in August, if those are the ones you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, the goal, and we're working in this together with our IMB partners, is to have those up and ready dates by August. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Great, great question. Yeah, man.
Do you guys have a South America on your radar at this moment? And if so, which are the countries that are on your radar?
Can you speak to that?
Yeah, do we have any South American countries on our radar?
Yeah, the ones that I'm aware of right now are probably Bogota, that we may go and serve alongside a team in Colombia.
Are you meaning for just those trips, or are you saying in general, do we have work in South America?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the answer is clearly yes to Mike on the SIN network opportunities. It sounds like there's going to be an opportunity there. But our South America affinity is expansive. It goes really from Mexico all the way down. They have strategies in many of those countries.
The two primary strategies in South America are sending and reaching the tribal unreached groups. So there's still a significant amount of people groups in South America that have yet to be engaged with the gospel. But then you also have Brazil and countries that are ready to send missionaries. And so they're working on both those fronts. So we have missionaries that are equipping missionaries to go to the nations, and we have missionaries engaging the tribal groups. Yeah.
That's good. So we want to honor your time. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up our formal time, but we're going to hang around as long as we need to. So a lot of these questions, we're going to be here, come, hang around, get information, exchange information. But I want you to leave with this, knowing that the theme throughout Scripture is that God is making His name known among the nations, and we have a part to play. You don't know your next step. We have a partner that we can work alongside to help guide your churches with that. Have some resources here.
Yeah, really quick. This is Foundations. It's on the table back there if you want to grab one. This is our missiology at the IMB. It's really, really good to read through, even to take your church through. We have this in all kinds of different languages as well. So it's on the back table. A lot of what we talked about today is in here. So feel free to pick that up.
The back table that's outside the room has it in English, but if you need it in Spanish or Korean, we have those as well. And I'd be glad to get you a PDF of those.
And then these prayer guides, we don't have any left. However, we're happy to send you for free as many as you need in your church. Again, just a great way to begin to have your church praying for the nations. We have these in multiple languages as well. So nature man there. But we're willing to send any of these resources, as many as you need, to your church for free. So
fantastic. All right. I'm going to pray for us, wrap up this time. I'm to tell you your next assignment. Again, hang around here as long as you need to. But dinner is next back over the dinner hall. And
you're paying tonight, right?
What's that?
You're paying tonight.
Annie. Annie's paying. So, again, really glad you're here. Hope this has been helpful to you, and it's been really fun. It's been the last time hour together. So let me pray. Lord, thank you. Help us. God, the task that you've set before us is beyond our human ability. But God, we are empowered by your Spirit with your gospel for your glory. Pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. I pray they leave encouraged, strengthened. And Lord, thank you for letting us be part of something that will not fail for the glory of God among the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.